Daniel chapter 1. Daniel chapter 1, I believe at the top of your notes there's a quote there from John Piper. God is always doing 10,000 things in your life, and you may be aware of three of them. And we're going to kind of like explore that concept here tonight with our Bible study. But that is so, so true. And the three things that we may be aware of, that's all we see. And we don't see all the other things that's going on. Let's pray and ask God's help with this. Heavenly Father, God, thank you for the word, your truth that we have. We can hold it, we can read it, we can study it, memorize it, learn from it. It guides us. And we just thank you for the power of your word. It requires that we obey it. And Lord, I pray that as we look at some more truth tonight, that your spirit would use it in our hearts to change us. Knowledge does nothing but puff us up, but we have to do something with that knowledge. Help us to be humble, willing to do what we learned from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. So the accountant Daniel, we're going to be spending some time in Daniel. Very little on prophecy. I explained that last week. This the whole book of Daniel takes place during the 70-year Babylonian captivity, when Israel was in captivity in Babylon there. And folks, this was a horrible time, okay? And I want us to try to take us in America and draw parallels to what Israel was facing when they were in bondage, basically. Imagine being there, okay? And by the way, this went on for 70 years. Now, you think about what's going on in your life or what's going on in the past, and months and months, and we're like, when is this ever going to end? 70 years. So it's not just me in my lifetime, it's my children and their lifetime and the next generation that's born into it. It just continued to roll on and on. Imagine being there. All you can see is only what you can see from your vantage point. And that's why I've kind of titled this Having the Right Vantage Point. That's all you can see, is what you see from your vantage point. Look at the world today. There's this decay of culture, decay of values. There's dishonesty, there's pride, there's arrogance, there's stupidity, okay? When you look at what some people believe, even though science says no, arrogance, the values and the beliefs that are very dear to us are devalued and disrespected, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. And it's tiring. It really is. When is it going to end? Now, that's what the Israelites could be saying during this 70-year. Only it was worse. They were actually pulled from their homeland. So again, here we are, this day and age, and we end up in bondage to another country. And a whole bunch of us get hauled away to that other country, a godless country, 70 years. Now, this is the story that we see unfolding before us and around us in our world today from our vantage point. But what if we could see the story of what's going on around us? What if we could see it from heaven's perspective, looking down? It's kind of like being in the woods. If I were to blindfold you, take you out into the woods, take your blindfold off, and say, okay, find your way out. Okay, all you can see is just the trees around you. You're not going to recognize any of the trees, okay, because they all look the same perhaps. But you know what would help? is if you could climb to the top of a tree, the tallest tree in the woods, and then kind of look and see where you're at. You have a different vantage point. Let me give you an example of how there are things going on around us that we just can't see because we're limited only to what we can see. Back in the early 1900s, Russia was expanding their union of republics, okay, becoming the USSR, what we knew as the USSR. And in the early 1900s, about the 1930s, tens of thousands of Koreans were deported from the only land they ever knew, and they were being relocated to a land that they had never been to, Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. And they were forbidden to practice their own traditions. Their children were being forced to learn the Russian language in the schools. So this was a complete attempted indoctrination of this group of people, their value system, even their language. They were being Russianized in this deliberate act that was taking place. Now, from an earthly perspective, put us in there. From an earthly perspective, this isn't good. Okay. Fast forward though, 50 years. So we're going to go 50 years into the late 80s. The USSR is beginning to break apart. The U.S. had been in a Cold War with Russia for years. You remember that? I'm sure many of you do. Things were always tense. We're on the verge of nuclear war at any moment. And Gorbachev began opening the door to foreign interests in that area of Russia. Now, after the Korean War in the 1950s, there was, and many don't realize this, there was a spiritual revival in Korea. Prior to North and South Korea, there was actually a Bible college in what is now known as North Korea. And they were sending out hundreds of missionaries at one time. You can Google it. Pyongpang is the city. And you'll see an old black and white photo of this huge building. And there are as many as 1,500 pastors, Korean pastors, there for this week-long conference and revival and all of this. It was really an amazing thing. So after the Korean War, South Korea now began sending out missionaries. Korean missionaries began pouring into Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan. And they're thinking, well, the doors are open. There are tens of thousands of Koreans that were deported there 50 years ago. Now, they had pretty much become Russianized. But as the accounts go, the Koreans that were living there, they, especially the younger generation, they had an interest in their Korean roots. So politically, the doors are open, the missionaries go in, the younger generation wanted to kind of get in touch with their Korean roots again, and it was just naturally a natural connection for the gospel to be given, and thousands came to Christ, and that younger generation then was able to spread the gospel to the older generation and to the other people living in those countries. There was kind of like this huge revival that was breaking out there in what used to be part of the USSR. Those initially deported Koreans from the 1930s, late 30s, they could have thought, and this would be reasonable, they could have thought, God's forgotten us. And that would be their earthly perspective, though. And yet, from heaven's perspective, God was working a grander plan that nobody knew about. Heaven's perspective, no matter how it looks from earth, there's always another story behind the story And that's what we see in the life of Daniel so many times. So let's go behind the scenes there, number one in your notes. Let's look at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. Now that word besieged, that's not a pleasant word. Jerusalem is surrounded by the enemy, and the enemy doesn't fight. They just surround them. Don't let anyone out. Don't let anyone or anything in until they start starving themselves to death. That's how a siege works. Can you see the headlines, okay? If we had Fox News back in that day, the Fox News report, you would get all of the facts and details. And that's kind of what we have here in this verse 1. It's very newsworthy. It's just some reporting. But we're not going to spend too much time elaborating on all the details of a besiege, okay? Remember, I said when we read the Bible, we need to look for God. And so we're going to take that approach as we move on now to verse number 2. But let's read verse 1 first again, and then we'll flow right into verse 2. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim of Judah into his hand, which with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. So there's a lot more details, okay? The king came in, he took vessels from God's house, put it in his idols' houses, yet there is more to this story than just the details. It also says, and this is what we miss in the details, if we're not looking for God, it also says, who's doing it? Who's behind this? God. Look at verse 2. If we could have that back up there. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim to the Babylonians. This is heaven's perspective, earth perspective. Oh no, we're being besieged. Oh no, he's taking stuff out of our temple and taking it back to his country. Oh no, he's taking some of us with him. And heaven's perspective is God was doing this. Now, let's consider a couple of terms so that we have a good understanding of them. Sovereignty, that's the first one. Sovereignty means his right as creator to rule over his creation. That is sovereignty. His right as the creator to rule over his creation. The next term is providence. They're kind of similar, but a little different. The ways refers to the ways he uses his sovereign power to accomplish his purposes. Okay, now let's see how those two terms work together. Sovereignty, we belong to him, and he can do with us whatever he wants. That's the definition of sovereignty, kind of putting some flesh on it there. We belong to him, he can do whatever he wants with us. How does that rub you? Some people is like, that just doesn't seem fair, right? I mean, on the way home, if he wanted half of our church to die in a train wreck, who's taking trains home? A car wreck or whatever, he could do that. A lot of times what we do when bad things happen, we don't want to ascribe them to God. So we say, well, God let them happen. Well, God, I don't know if he did or didn't. But because he is sovereign, he could do with us whatever he wants to, because he is sovereign, okay? So we belong to him, he can do whatever he wants. Providence says he acts in ways that advance his good and wise plan for us. That's providence. Now, sometimes we say that, well, things happen for a reason, as a way to deal with whatever's going on. But that's missing something. When something happens and we try to console someone, we say, well, you know, things happen for a reason. Things happen for God's reasons. When you take his sovereignty and his providence, here is some truth to back that up. Psalm 135 and verse 6, it says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas, and all the deep places. So whatever God was pleased to do, he did it. That's sovereignty, okay? Ephesians 1 verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose or the plan of him who worketh all things, that's full of providence there, after the counsel of his own will. So he works out everything in agreement with the purpose of his plan. That's providence. Now, what are some scary places in life that people find themselves today? Scary places, circumstances, situations. What do you think? Let's throw some things out here. Okay, health issues, right? Yeah, we'll just call it health issues. Mm-hmm. Yep. What else? Ooh, very good. Yep, homeless. Debt. Ooh, financial issues. Yep. Addictions. Good. Jobless. Yep. Can you think of anything else? How about relationship issues? Divorce. Yeah. Family splits. This person's not talking to that person, and they haven't for years. I did something, I don't know what made me do this. I looked at the app for our county sheriff's office, and on the app, there's a tab that it's an inmate search tab. So I clicked on that, and it pulled up a picture of all these inmates, and it gives you, you know, their basic information and what they were arrested for. So I just went down and started looking through all of them. Do you know what the number, of those on that page, okay, the crime that was listed more than any other crime, can you think of what it was? That's what I thought. No, that was number two. Number three was like aggravated battery, you know, people getting in fights. Number one was sex-related issues. Aggravated sexual assault, child porn, all kinds of horror. That was the number one offense of those that were listed. That shocked me. And that's what's going on in our world around us. That's what's going on. But we have to remember, for every one of those that's in jail for that, there's a victim. It happened to them, okay? These are the scary things in life that people find themselves in today. But how about some smaller things? Because none of the things mentioned are really touching us right now, for the most part. What are some smaller things? Again, the car broke down again, okay? Just got it fixed, hit a deer. When David Anderson, not this one, the other one, when he first came here, I think in that first year, he hit two deer. Just kept destroying his cars, one right after another. And he was like, why'd I ever move to this place? Yeah, car breakdowns. Yes. Whoa. Only a mom would say that one. That was not on my radar at all. Yeah. Yep. A misunderstanding with your child's teacher that caused a little drama for a while, perhaps. Unexpected bill. Your schedule is so busy. These little minor irritations. And I've told you about the time when my wife and I were first married. We're traveling from here, Springfield to Wisconsin. And we had just left the gas station. We're back on the road. I gotta go go to the bathroom. Okay. And, you know, I was young enough at that point, and you guys know this, it's point A to point B, and don't stop in between, you know? Just go, get her done. So I pulled off again, and like just a few minutes later, we got back on. We're heading up the interstate, like 10 miles, and then we came to a dead stop. Just a few minutes up the road, there was a major accident that just occurred. They were bringing in helicopters to airlift people out. Now, that minor irritation, although I'm sad to say at that time, it wasn't a minor one for me, okay? All I could see was, ugh, we got to stop again? We just stopped. Evan's perspective was, there is a different story from the one that I could see. And we have these little things going on in our life, too. And all we can see is what our perspective is. So let's apply these two terms to this list of things that we've come up with. So God's sovereignty, that's his entitlement. He's entitled to do whatever he wants. God's providence is his intentional intervention or even non-intervention in our problems. Now, couple that with this verse, Romans 8:28, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And in verse 29, we see the heaven perspective, providence part of it. All things, he's working because he can, he's entitled to it. Our little irritations, he's entitled to do whatever he wants. For what purpose? To make us more like him, verse 29. He has an intentional plan, a purpose for it. His entitlement, his intentional intervention or non-intervention is always good towards his people, even though we might only be able to see the ugh part of it. So the truth that we're looking at here, that is a fortress for us to run to when we're feeling nervous, anxiety, fear, frustration, irritation. We've got to go back to this truth that we're learning about God here. There's always more to what's going on than what we can see. We can be assured that what we can't see is infused with wisdom and goodness, a plan, a purpose from our Creator. If we could see everything that God was doing, we would probably worship and praise him no matter what's going on in our life at that moment. If we could just see the good plan he has with the bad that's going on. So let's look at two different views here real quick. There's a macro and a micro. Macro is big view. Micro is really small. Like on a camera, you'll have a macro lens. And that's a lens that takes in a big picture. Micro is small. You can think of like a microscope. It's focusing in on just one little thing. So from Earth's perspective, okay, looking back at Daniel here, the macro view, King Nebuchadnezzar, he took the city of Jerusalem, the nation of Judah, captive, but from heaven's vantage point, the macro view, the king of Babylon was not the ultimate cause of the city's fall. It wasn't because the king of Babylon decided to go take over Jerusalem. God handed it over to him. That's the big macro view here. You know, I just thought of this. The Israelites, the people living in Jerusalem, actually Judah, they didn't know that because Daniel hadn't been written yet. All they saw was the bad. China's coming. Iran's on our shores. And that's all we're going to see. But what about Daniel? Let's look at a micro view here. Now, let's go right down to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Looking at that from an earthly perspective, this isn't good, okay? He's been carried off to another country. He's being forced to disregard his traditions, even his dietary traditions of being an Israelite, and being forced to eat the king's meat, the king's drink, all of that. This is not good. He requested, I don't know if you saw that in there at the end of verse 8. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. He asked. He didn't throw a fit. He didn't stomp a foot, demand, this ain't right. That's kind of interesting, but when you believe that heaven rules, you don't have to throw fits in the face of earthly obstacles. When you believe that heaven rules, you don't have to throw fits when you get back on the interstate and someone else in the car has to go to the bathroom. If you believe that heaven rules, and apply that to all the other examples that you all provided. Look with me at Daniel chapter 1 and verse 9. It goes on. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Whoa, there's a sighting of God right there. Did you see it? We just went from verse 8, the Fox News report, all the details. Now God, there's the macro view, God brought Daniel into favor with the prince of the eunuchs. God was already working stuff that Daniel had no idea. It doesn't say that, well, Daniel knew he kind of had a good in with the eunuchs, so he was going to go ask the prince of the eunuchs. No, he just went, he requested, not knowing that God had already given him favor. Heaven rules, okay? There's an example of it right there. Now, again, in verse 17, as for these four children, that's Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God gave them, there's another one, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Again, heaven rules, God working a plan, and these guys didn't even know it at the time. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, it says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Now, who's the king? Someone in authority, right? So who's our king right now? God, the Sunday school answer. Yes, how about earthly king? Okay. I heard Biden. Do we have any other kings? Illinois kings? Our governor? Our mayor? Aldermen? State representatives, U.S. congressmen, senators, these are all people in authority over us, and some we like and some we don't because of what they stand or don't stand for. They're in God's hands. And this verse tells us God makes them do whatever he wants them to do. He turns it wherever he wants it to be turned. Even if they don't acknowledge that God exists, even if they're a cross-dressing atheist, God makes them do whatever he wants done for his plan to be accomplished. There is no one that God cannot cause to carry out his plan, which, by the way, according to Romans 8:28, it's a good plan. Okay? Because why is that? There's no one that God cannot cause to carry out his plan. Because heaven rules the whole sovereignty of God. Sometimes we ask the question, why? Let's go on in our notes. Number two, why? Why do you think God would do that to the Israelites? Okay? Consider that the Israelites, they were enslaved to sin. before Babylon came. They were enslaved in idolatry. Now, we know, let's be honest, okay? Just from our own experience, sin never leads to blessing, does it? Sin doesn't build up and beautify. It diminishes us. It creates more problems and more struggles for us, for our families, for society. It hurts relationships. Sin is a bad thing. So the question maybe should be, why do you think God would do that? Instead, why wouldn't a sovereign God, purposeful God who loves us, not do something to bring us to repentance? And that's what he did with Judah. They were already in sin and idolatry, and he did that to bring them to repentance. Oh, that's mean. No, wait a minute. Sin is bad. It hurts. It hurts us. It hurts our children. Why wouldn't he do something like that if he really loves us? How many of you were spanked as a child? Yes. Okay. Not every hand went up. Watch them. They're the spoiled ones. No, I'm just kidding. I think we probably all were. Okay. I don't know about the generations today, but yeah, we all were. Anybody like it? Nope. But I'll tell you what, and I don't know about spankings today, but I know spankings in my house with my dad, it brought me to repentance. You remember what a repentance, the real word of repentance is not, oh, I'm sorry. It's a change of mind. He definitely changed my mind about disobedience. Okay? It wasn't pleasant, but it was a good thing to some extent. Now, let's talk about Daniel again. He and his friends were followers of God. Him, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They weren't like their countrymen. They weren't idol worshipers. They just kind of got stuck in the mess. What might they have been feeling if they saw that part of God's plan? God actually brought Babylon over because of Israel's idolatry and took them all into bondage and slavery because of idolatry. If they knew that much, they would be thinking, this is not fair. I'm an innocent victim in all of this. They might have been thinking this is unjust, anger, fear, alone. Where is God? Confused. Sometimes we do experience hardness in life because of other people's sins. It happens. On a big scale, Pastor Newman, the loss of his daughters, someone else's sin. And that happens because of free will. God allows us all to make choices. Because heaven rules, God uses these things to create an environment from which your life can give a powerful witness. Example, Pastor Newman and the loss of his daughters. What a powerful witness he has had over the years because of that tragedy that was so unfair and unjust. And that's what we're going to see here in Daniel's life as well. Him and the three friends. What a powerful witness during those 70 years. Let's look at his plan for Daniel. Daniel 1, verse 18. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in. Remember, it was 3 years. 3 years has gone by. Then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Okay. Let's see, God's going to reveal a little bit of his plan here. And the king communed with them, and among them all of these Hebrew youngsters that were in this indoctrination program, he found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. They excelled above all of them. In verse 17, where Daniel and his friends, they excelled in all of it. And Daniel even had the ability to interpret visions and dreams in just that three-year time span. In verse 20, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. Keep in mind, Daniel's maybe 20 right here. They believe he got taken over when he was a teenager, so he's like 20 years old. And he knows more than all of the learned men of Babylon. Did anyone notice Sunday? Or wait, did anyone notice Carlton? Did you see Carlton walk in here tonight? A couple people did. Everyone that was in the room when Carlton walked in, probably most didn't even notice him walk in. Okay? Now, how about Becky? She's so close to getting her new leg. And the day that she walks up this aisle unassisted on two legs, we're going to notice. Because we know what she's been going through, okay? The struggle that she's had and that she's having right now. And she's just going to come walking up the center aisle. We're going to notice. She is going to rise above in our awareness because of the struggle, and she is excelling above it. And that's what's happening with Daniel and his friends. They didn't respond like maybe we would have in problems. Irritation, frustration, fear, whatever it is, because they knew God's in control of this. And his plan then reached down and lifted him up. And those four men had such an impact in Babylon over those years. Daniel and his friends, big view, they're captives, they're slaves, they're removed from their homeland. Normal life, completely different. The little view, they were so unimportant. I don't know if you have picked this up reading through Daniel before, but when they first came in there, their names were changed. They were so unimportant. They're like, oh, yeah, we'll just call them whatever we want. It's like you get a new pet and you can change the name. That's what we did with one of our dogs. It was a rescue. We changed the name to what we wanted it to be. You don't do that with people. With animals, yes. That's how unimportant they were when 3 years before, when they came into Babylon. And they were, they attempted to brainwash them. Everything was designed to belittle their God. And for 3 years, it didn't stop. Now, look with me at verse 19 again. And the king commanded with them, or communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king, and in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all of his realm. How are we to keep our head above water to stay positive and confident? By lifting up our eyes from our earthly perspective and try to see what's going on from God's perspective. By recognizing, by first maybe recognizing there is a God perspective. By remembering that our confidence should be not in our bank account or my job that I have at a really good solid company or who's in office or how wonderful I think and how strong I think my family is, not confidence in that, but our confidence should be in an all-powerful God in heaven who is sovereign. What do? We view everything that is happening around and to us through the lens of those two words, heaven rules. We just look at everything through that lens. Let's just kind of stretch our minds a little bit. What has happened in our country since 2020? COVID. All right. That was the first thing that I put on my list too. COVID. What else? Riots. Yes, absolutely. Inflation. Yep. Oh, invasion, the border issue, right? Okay. Yep. We've got issues at the border. What else? Not just COVID, but you remember when COVID first started? Every day, multiple times during the day, the news was giving us updates on death rates and infection rates and the maps and the growing red blob and where the heaviest concentrations were. We had a presidential election that was, prior to the election, was contentious. After the election, we know, was disputed. Rioting, looting, racial unrest. And then there were the arguments over to mask or not to mask. Did you get a vaccine? Did you not get a vaccine? Prove it. HIPAA says I don't have to. How dare you ask? All of that stuff. During that time when things were locked down for quite a while, I think our church was open. I remember, this is probably for me one of the saddest parts about that time in COVID. I was at the nursing home one night with Charlie Saul. It looked like he was going to go home to be with the Lord. And Carolyn had to talk to the director. She couldn't be there anymore. She had been there like almost around the clock. She needed a break. We didn't want Charlie to go home by himself. And she talked to the director. I got on the phone. I was pulling out my deputy coroner badge, you know, trying to just get in there. And so there I am. I'm sitting there, full hazmat suit. And I sound like this when I'm talking to Charlie, you know. And that was an unusual thing that I got to do that. And he didn't go home that night. So praise the Lord for that. In fact, it was just after midnight. And all of a sudden, he wakes up and he says, "Hey, I want some ice cream." All right, I'm going home. I'm going to go sleep in my bed tonight. This guy's fine. But some of us went to Monticello to visit Elfrida. We had to stand outside her window in the courtyard to talk to her. And those people were all alone during that time. Hospital patients isolated from their families, churches not allowed to meet, having to make that decision. Do we meet? Do we not meet? Dan mentioned, the invasion, the border issue, immigration, and this is all still going on. Inflation, we've got the Russia and Ukraine issue. Now more than ever, we need to connect our hearts to the truth. Heaven rules. All we see is the earth perspective right now. Heaven rules over everything. So our question then for tonight, we have to know what to do with this truth. Will we go out here? Will we rise like Daniel did? Or will we respond with fear, despair, worry, irritation, anger, and throw that all over our Facebook posts? Or will we rise like Daniel did, and God was able to use him? Let's pray. Father God, help us, Lord, as we leave here tonight to do just that. And I think our response to circumstances would be so vastly different if we would just believe your truth, grasp this truth that you're in control, and you have a plan as well, and that plan is good. Help us to practice and live that in Jesus' name. Amen.